Hard to believe it's the first of a brand new year, 2020. Happy New Year and welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach, using biblical principles, the best ways to handle money. Now, the name of the class that we teach is Faith and Money Matters, and you can learn more about our Bible study at compasscatholic.org. The ultimate goal is to get you totally debt-free, and what a New Year's resolution to write down today that sometime during the course of the year or next year that you will become debt-free, but today's the day that you're going to start that journey. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean, and today we're going to share with you 10 easy steps, and they are easy, that will improve your monthly finances. Again, a nice way to start the new year with 10 steps. Okay, Bean, let's get into gear with these easy steps to improve my monthly finances.
Over the years, how many couples have we run into that think one day they're going to make it? One day they'll finally have enough money? Or one day they're going to be satisfied? Or one day they're finally going to be happy? Or one day they're going to be content?
Sounds like an awful lot of one days to me.
Well, and maybe those one days are going to happen for them, but all those future days are made up of a lot of todays that follow each other one after another.
It's like Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday.
Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday. I can't even say that.
So what you're saying today is people need to focus on today, today.
Today, today. You're right.
Okay. And if they focus on today, today, that will help them set themselves up for some financial success.
So today, we have 10 tips to help people on that journey. We're going to help you figure out what you need to do to improve your monthly finances. And the first few tips we have are kind of financially oriented, but the last couple are mindset oriented, because sometimes you have to change your mindset before you can change your money.
All right. What's the first one, Evelyn?
Track your pennies.
Track your pennies. I've never heard that before. You know, unless you're tracking how much money you're spending and what you're spending it on, you have no idea if your money is being allocated to the things that are really the most important to you.
You know, we were working with a couple last week, and they had all of their expenses written down, except they forgot food.
Yeah.
So that was a big, oh my.
And a couple credit cards too. But
but you know, if you forget a big category like that, and you think, look, I've got enough money to make it through the month, but I'm not buying any food, probably you're going to have problems.
But when they started focusing on their pennies, they were able to find almost $300 worth of
pennies that
they could cut out of their monthly budget.
By doing a lot of little things.
Yes.
You're talking about useless spending.
Or reallocating current spending or renegotiating what they're spending on certain things now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like a lower rate on the car insurance because they don't need, what was it, collision, because it's an older car.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
And
where people just get used to paying that
and
they don't think about
bill,
it.
They were paying for insurance on the heater and the air conditioner and the water heater and seismic eruptions. Or I don't know.
How much did they pay for that seismic eruption?
It was a lot. But, you know, we have never found anybody who has not been surprised when they track their pennies, because
that's
it
true.
Always teaches them something they didn't know was happening.
Some people will find after they do it for a couple months that they're actually spending $400 to $800 a month more than their income. It's no wonder they've got problems.
So it's always surprising to them how off base their estimates were, huh?
That's absolutely correct. There's easy things, though, that you can pick up on. Like the fellow that we talked to the one time that thought he was spending $50 a month for lunches. And, you know, we talked to him about, well, where do you go for lunch?
And how often?
And he says, well, every day. And we go to a restaurant or someplace. And guess what?
That $50 wasn't enough.
He wasn't even close. It was like $50 a week. He was spending over $1,800 a month on lunches.
A year, yeah.
Okay. Not a month. That was some pretty good steak dinners he was having, though.
But that's a good point, in that little bit every day adds up to a lot in a month, and a real big amount by the time you add it up over a year.
So the important thing is, if you track your spending, that will give you the information, the knowledge, the data that you need to be able to make a smart decision. If you don't know where you're spending your money, then every decision you make is based on a guess.
And the guy that we were talking about with the lunch has said, I can't afford that.
Yes.
And what's more, I don't want to spend my money that way.
Yes.
All right. So what's tip number two?
Look at your monthly payments.
So this is like what we were talking about earlier.
Well, this is more of the same thing. You know, if you're tracking your pennies, then you're going to understand how much you're spending each month.
So if you're paying $500 a month on a new car and you can't afford it, maybe now's the time to sell that new car, get out of that big loan, and buy a good solid used car for the trade-in money.
Absolutely.
But that only works if you're not upside down on the car, if you don't owe more than it's
worth.
Right.
So, you know, you may have two cars that you're paying money for and you can't afford either one of them. You sell them both and buy a car for cash, a used car that has maybe 100,000 miles on it and it's 10 years old that you can probably get for $3,000. And it'll run for another 100,000 miles in most cases. People think that their cars are going to wear out after 50,000 miles. They're not even broken in at 50,000
not
miles.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
What about credit card payments? Is there any way to lower your monthly credit card bills other than not charging things?
I was going to say, there's one real easy way to...
cut them up and don't use them, right?
Yeah. If you're really trying to cut back, call a credit card company and say, hey, look, I'm on a budget. I'm trying to get this thing paid off, but this interest rate is killing me. Can we do something to reduce the interest rate, to cut it back so that I can get this bill paid off?
Because that lets them know that you're really serious about making the payments for the stuff you bought, but you want some help from them.
And don't be upset if the first time you call in the first 30 seconds, they don't agree with you. You know, it may take you two or three calls in order to make it happen. And you probably are going to have to talk to more than one person. You're going to have to find a supervisor or maybe the supervisor's supervisor. But just be nice and explain it and be patient and calm and work it.
And keep track of who you talked to and what they said and what the date was.
Absolutely.
Because that gives you good records for what you're doing.
Well, and you know, you can read that back to them verbatim. They will not just brush off what you're saying if you've got times, dates, and people, because they know who works there. They know what's going on.
What about mortgages? Is there any way to save on mortgage payments?
Yeah, don't buy so much house.
So downsize?
Well, we've done that several times in our life.
Well, and that only makes sense if you're going to come out ahead financially, because the cost of selling and buying a new place may put you in the hole even further. So that's an economic decision that needs to be made.
Well, and it's a lifestyle decision. You know, there's a lot of decisions that go into that. So you just can't, you know, plop your house up for sale. Well, we've got a great example of it. An old roommate that I had in college wants to sell his house, and he wants to move into an apartment. Now, he's not doing it in the same city. He's changing cities by 1,000 miles or something like that. But the cost of the mortgage compared to the cost of an apartment, the difference is unbelievable. The apartment is going to cost him almost 4 times his mortgage payment. And it's just a 2-bedroom apartment.
So then the question is, why would he want to pay more for an apartment?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the lifestyle choice, because he wants to live in an area where there's family and friends.
Family and friends, and he doesn't want to do maintenance. And, you know, we talked to somebody today, lived in an apartment for 35 years, and then they bought a house. They had no clue about what maintenance was on a house, and therefore it didn't get done.
And therefore, the house crashed.
Yeah.
What about single people moving back home with mom and dad? Good idea, bad idea?
Well, that depends on if you're a single person or a mom and dad.
Ooh. Well, I think the important thing there is if you are a single person and you're trying to move back in with mom and dad, go to them with a plan.
Yeah.
How long? Yeah. What's your plan for saving money? What is your plan for moving out? So it's not, hi guys, I'm back home and you can support me again.
Yeah. And if you're a mom and dad and your child comes back to you and doesn't have a plan, you better not just say yes without you having a plan. You know, you need to have some conditions written down that you both agree to. Yes, they're an adult now. Yes, they want to live their life the way they want to live it. But they're also moving back under your roof.
So you need to understand who's doing the laundry, who's cleaning the room, what the contribution is to the family budget.
Yes.
The
you know, is
child.
He going to pay rent or right. Are they going to, you know, how's that going to work?
Right.
And what's the duration?
Duration is an important thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
What about, I know we were talking to somebody recently about saving money on their private mortgage insurance.
Yes. PMI, private mortgage insurance, any mortgage that's issued where the amount of equity is less than 20%, you'll have to pay 1% of the mortgage amount as insurance, private mortgage insurance. But as soon as you have equity in the house that's greater than 20%, then the mortgage company will remove that insurance policy from the mortgage and you won't have to pay that additional 1%. So if your mortgage is $100,000 and you don't have 20% equity yet, then 1% of $100,000 is $100. So you're paying an extra $100 every month. And as soon as that equity gets to be greater than 20, you can get rid of that 1% and you'll save yourself $100. Now, you don't have to have put the money into the mortgage to make that happen. It also will go away if the value of the house increases. If you bought the house and it was valued at $100,000 and today it's valued at $130,000, well, bingo, there's $30,000 right there. That's an increase in the equity amount.
But you probably have to do some homework and digging around and talking to realtors and doing some analysis of making sure that you know what the home value is and what the mortgage value is, and then going to your mortgage lender.
Yes,
and talking
absolutely.
To them, because they're not going to come to you.
Absolutely.
They're
absolutely.
Not going to think it's a good idea.
No, you got to initiate it. Yeah, they won't come to you. And, you know, here's another idea, Evelyn. Earn more money.
Oh, earn more money. That sounds easier than it probably is.
You know, if you're due for a raise, ask for it. You know, you can't just say, hey, boss, give me more money.
Well, you can, but it probably won't get you any.
You need to define the reasons why you deserve a raise and make sure you've got documentation to prove it. Make an appointment with your boss and really just, you got to do a sales job. You know, lay everything out and why you're so valuable to the organization.
No whining, just
yeah.
Facts.
No, absolutely. And, you know, if you can't get a raise, maybe it's time to get a part-time job, or maybe it's time to look for a new job. But, you know, you got to be careful about that and do it with intelligence, not just because you're upset.
Yeah, you can't jump and quit ship.
Yep.
The other thing is a lot of people have hobbies that maybe they may be able to use for a part-time income.
And you're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the best practices for handling money. You can learn more at compasscatholic.org. Today, we're sharing 10 steps that's going to help you with your monthly finances. Nice way to step off 2020, but with a goal of getting your finances in shape, right? The goal of these tips is to keep you from going into or deeper into debt. All right, Evelyn, we've shared 5 tips, which could only mean that we're halfway through the top 10 recommendations.
Number 5 is to review your insurance. And these are all different kinds of insurance policies, right, John?
I think you ought to start with your car insurance, probably.
Okay. And what should I do with my car insurance?
Do you need to have collision on your car, even though it's 10 years old? That's the first thing I'd think about. You need to have liability. You need to have uninsured motorists. You need to have the medical. But maybe you don't have to have the collision because, you know, if you get in a wreck and your car's 10 years old and it's worth $3,000 anyway or $5,000, they're going to total it.
So you probably want to look at the value of your car through some online search. And then there's a whole bunch of websites that let you do comparison shopping on insurance, isn't there?
There is. They can do good stuff for you, and for the first year, you'll get a good rate. The thing I don't like about those websites is all of a sudden you're getting insurance requests on the telephone, on email, and you know, you're just inundated by 100 different companies that know that you went on a website and put a little bit of data in there.
In fact, our son works for a major insurance company, and just the other day, we were talking about comparing quotes, and he said, do never go online and do that because you'll be flooded with email requests. You'll get phone calls from every broker known to man. And all of a sudden, when you're online on websites, you'll see their ads pop up in front of you.
Okay, yeah. So forget I asked that. How do you?
No, I mean, what Audrey and I do every 2 years, we do by phone. We call insurance companies and get quotes. And we have a meeting with our insurance agent in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We go through our homeowners and car every 2 years.
Well, yeah. That's a good idea because a lot of people just end up working with an agency or an agent and they stay there and over and over and over. And I think that might have worked in the past, but things are so competitive now that if you're not comparison shopping, you're probably not protecting your best interests.
Right. Yeah. But you can, you know, you can save money. And we were coaching somebody recently. And he went to his insurance company, his automobile insurance, and he saved $155 a month, I think, because they eliminated the collision because he's got a 10-year-old car that's worth like $3,000 or $4,000. So that's worth the time and effort to talk to your insurance agent, see what you can do. And if you go to your agent first, you know, give him a chance to give you a better price before you go out and start shopping around.
Especially if you were pleased with their service.
Yes, yes.
Now, what about life insurance, health insurance? We should shop those too, right?
Yeah, life insurance. Now, I am a firm believer that there's only one kind of life insurance you should be buying, and that's term life insurance. It's the least expensive insurance you can buy. If you can buy the most protection for the smallest amount of money. And I think that's important because most families, you know, when the insurance agent comes in and says, oh, you need $800,000 or you need $1 million worth of insurance, you know what? He's right. Because most families are terribly, terribly underinsured. And if something happens to the breadwinner and the rest of the family has to live, you got to have enough money there. And if you've got young kids, then the amount that you need is even greater. So that's an important thing. But if you're buying some other kind of insurance, the cost per $1,000 of insurance goes way up. And I would never include in my insurance policy any kind of a savings plan because you can save the money yourself.
And we do have some forms on our website to help you calculate your insurance needs.
Yes, yes. CompassCatholic.org, under the Navigating Your Finances God's Way participants page, you can find a life insurance calculation sheet.
So that's good. Now, a lot of what we've been talking about is very financially oriented. Let's move into a different venue here and talk about mindset changes. What kind of mindset changes do we really need to make?
You know, now you're getting tricky. You're messing with my mind, Evelyn. I suppose where you're headed is we want to talk about the difference between needs and wants.
That's one of the things on my list.
Okay, yep. Needs and wants. You know, we need to have shelter over our heads of some kind. We need to have food. We need to have clothing. And Scripture tells us that. Beyond that, everything becomes a want. And even some of those needs, you need to have a shelter. Is a tent going to work? Well, it could. But an apartment or a house or something would be nice. A mansion is probably a want.
Well, even a house you can't afford because you want to keep up with your neighbors
is not.
But you know, everything we hear in our culture tells us that we need what they are selling, right?
Yes.
It's the only way we can be happy or sexy or fulfilled or content is to buy what they're selling. And guess what? Even if you buy that stuff, you're never going to be happy for long because you're just going to be pressured into buying the next thing that comes along.
Well, if you think that your next want is going to make you happy, you're never going to have a want that makes you happy.
Because it's a never-ending cycle.
It's a never-ending cycle. You know, your need for wants or your want for needs or
whatever. Don't confuse everybody.
It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, when you were little, you wanted a tricycle, and then you got a 12-inch two-wheel bicycle, and then that wasn't big enough, and you got a 20-inch, and then you got a 24, and then you got a...
And now you want a BMW.
Now you have a bicycle shop.
You got something to carry your bicycle on.
But even our conversation, people mix up needs and wants. They may want to get the newest, latest, greatest gadget, but the terminology they use says, I need to upgrade my phone.
Yes.
Even if
yes.
my phone is perfectly capable of yes. doing exactly what I need it to do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The other thing that goes with that, I heard this today. It totally blew me away. Somebody broke their phone. They're paying for insurance on their phone.
Oh, I heard that too. Yeah.
And
they went and bought a new phone.
They just bought a new one without using the insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all that insurance money was just down the drain.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but that brings us to the next one that I wanted
to talk about. I'm sure they wanted that next greatest phone, you know?
But how about always questioning every purchase you made? Because that goes right along with needs versus wants, doesn't it?
Tell me more.
Well, when you start questioning every single purchase, you're conditioning yourself to buy based on fact rather than on emotion.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't spend any money, but what it means is that when you do spend money, you're making a responsible decision.
And if you can leave emotion out of the purchase decision, you'll be much better off, because that emotion causes you to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing.
What's that say? We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know.
Or we don't like.
But a responsible mindset when you're purchasing things, and this is whatever it is. It could be a car, it could be a house, it could be clothes, it could be food. When you're thinking about your spending habits, are you thinking about what you want now, or are you thinking about your future?
Yeah. And you gotta have a plan. You gotta figure out what your plan is. And, you know, does it make sense? And then you work your plan.
And you might want to think about, is there a better way to do something? Like, can you borrow an item instead of buying it?
Yes.
Yeah. Or can you buy the store brand instead of buying the fancy brand?
Yeah.
Or can you buy a secondhand item instead of buying something new?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all great ideas. And so you've got to set your plan and then work it. You know, once you have your spending plan, then just stick to it. Stick to it. It's so important. And then you'll start to see all your other expenses as being unnecessary.
The next thing is to set priorities for what's really important to you. You know, is that fancy coffee so important to you, or would you rather cut back on your spending and have money for things that may be more important and have a higher priority?
People have this false impression that using a budget is all about being deprived. That's why we don't call it a budget, to be honest with you. We call it a spending plan, because that's what it's all about. You are spending. You just be smart about having a spending plan.
And if you think it's all about cutting back, consider that it's all about making wise decisions. So let's start off on number 9. How many people use shopping as a form of entertainment? What was that person said to you one time, John, when they were going into the mall?
Oh, every time I go to the mall, I spend money.
So your answer was?
Don't take your wallet. Don't go to the mall.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's easy, right? You don't know anybody that goes to the mall and buys things all the time.
Yes, we do know a family that has been their MO for decades.
And they just do that for entertainment, don't
Saturday they? Saturday night. That's the whole family. Saturday night. The kids are married. Even they go now. They all meet on a Saturday night and go to the mall.
I can't imagine anything that I'd rather do less. Maybe a root canal. But go shopping every Saturday night? That's awful. You know, if you're shopping as a form of entertainment, you're really going to, I mean, entertainment for, if you're spending money on entertainment, that's a huge budget buster. But if you're shopping for entertainment, that's a really big budget buster.
Yeah. If you can, you know, just, I don't know. We've been able to go to the downtown area and walk the street and look at the windows and enjoy the scenery and that kind of stuff. But,
you know, and I think all that mall shopping and needs versus wants and all that comes from comparing yourself with others. And when we see that our friends have things that we don't have, it's very easy for us to get jealous of what they have that we think we might want.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe that person has a brand new car and it smells so good. Or maybe, you know, they've got something else and you really like. They've been on an unbelievable vacation and it's on your bucket list. Don't compare yourself to those people.
And whatever it is, you've got just exactly what God wants for you at this point in time. So the best thing you can do is be happy for your friend and mindful of your own situation.
You know, jealousy is one of the works of the flesh that we are warned about in Galatians 5:19-21.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much for sharing those. A lot of great recommendations, especially now, first of the year. Make 2020 something special and get yourself going, getting out of debt. These recommendations, you may not have written them all down. That's okay. We have them available on our website, compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, scroll down and click on podcast summary. For John and Evelyn Bean, we want to wish you a very happy new year. Much success as you manage your money God's way in 2020. Also, thank you for downloading our podcast. We have a brand new one for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast, and there we are. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.